Kaffee in seiner besten Form mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Chibo. In jeder Cubo-Kapsel steckt Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Für Espresso, Kaffeecrema oder Kaffee Grande auf Knopfdruck. Die neue Cubo One überzeugt mit Premium-Design, kompakter Größe und kleinem Einstiegspreis ab 29 Euro. Dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie wird jede Tasse besonders aromatisch mit samtiger Crema. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo-Kapselmaschinen in deiner Chibo-Filiale und auf chibo.de.
And now, Veep Thoughts by Kamala Harris.
The way that I think about it is, you know, like relay racing. You know, you race and someone passes the baton and then, right? So that's what life is. It's basically a relay race. And so the people who are heroes, whichever gender they are, they ran their part of the race and then they passed us a baton. And the question is, what will we do with the time we carry the baton?
This has been Veep Thoughts by Kamala Harris.
Stu Does America.
It's a pronunciation guide and a t-shirt. Kamala? Nah, Mala. Get your t-shirts and mugs today at StuDoesMerch.com. Got one right here. Kamala Namala. You'll remember how to pronounce the name, and you'll remember you don't like her very much. StuDoesMerch.com. StuDoesMerch.com. The code is Stu10. You'll get 10% off your entire order. You can check us out at YouTube as well. YouTube.com/StuDoesAmerica. We've got this show. We've got comedy skits. We've got live, YouTube Lives, where we go for reaction to big news events and so much more. Just subscribe and hit the bell so you know when we're going live and you don't miss it. Amy Swearer is going to be here with the real story on the Harris Walz gun nonsense that, you know, what is their stance? Do they really love the Second Amendment? I mean, she did have that clip with Oprah. See, she said she'd shoot people. We'll get into the bottom of that. I'll let you know if Donald Trump has survived any more assassination attempts by ACT Blue donors. And we're going to start by doing Joe and Kamala's Global Chaos. Yes, global chaos is here. I hope you're appreciating it so far. Lebanon is reeling from Israeli attacks. The future is murky for a wounded Hezbollah. And, there's all sorts of coverage on this. I thought I'd let you hear it, you know, directly from the source here. This is Benjamin Netanyahu talking about why he's doing this.
I have a message for the people of Lebanon. Israel's war is not with you. It's with Hezbollah. For too long, Hezbollah has been using you as human shields. It placed rockets in your living rooms and missiles in your garage. Those rockets and missiles are aimed directly at our cities, directly at our citizens. To defend our people against Hezbollah strikes, we must take out those weapons. Now, starting this morning, the IDF has warned you to get out of harm's way. I urge you, take this warning seriously. Don't let Hezbollah endanger your lives and the lives of your loved ones. Don't let Hezbollah endanger Lebanon. Please, get out of harm's way now. Once our operation is finished, you can come back safely to your homes.
It's going to be very intense to hear a message like that. And, you know, missiles in your garage. I thought it was just a pool filter they were storing. But no, it's a missile. Who would have possibly known? My guess is a lot of these people in southern Lebanon do know when they have those missiles there, but don't really mind it too much because they're not huge fans of Israel. But some, I'm sure, are not Hezbollah members, and they want to get them out of there. And that's of course, great. Now, that's not, of course, how the media is reflecting this at all. This from Sky News is legitimately unbelievable. Hezbollah has been provoked like never before by Israel and may be tempted to unleash its firepower. Now, they, I guess, attempted to clean that up. Here's the headline they have now. Will Iran let Hezbollah unleash its full firepower in the face of Israel's relentless onslaught? Is that how you'd frame this? Because that's not how I would frame it. It's interesting because, you know, we have the situation that since October 7th, Hezbollah has been firing rockets into missiles into Israel and has basically forced Israel to clear out large portions of its northern areas. No one can live there because missiles keep falling on their heads. Not necessarily what you want out of a Friday or a Wednesday or really any other day. So they are finally fighting back, and they have, you know, been exchanging fire for a while, but now they're going big. Obviously, the beeper thing was a big part of that. And probably the first part of a much larger situation here. We talked about the beeper attack and the walkie-talkie attack, where Israel had apparently, allegedly, reportedly, taken over beeper manufacturers and walkie-talkie manufacturers, inserted explosives in there, waited for the right moment, set them all off. They were all sold to Hezbollah members, and so almost exclusively took out Hezbollah members, injured many thousands of them, and killed many as well. Is this essentially a softening of the ground, right? If you know you're going in for an invasion because you need to push Hezbollah back off of your borders and have a buffer zone of some sort, this knocks out thousands of their fighters from really being useful. Then you come in with the airstrikes. The next logical step is that you're actually going to penetrate this region and push them back out of it. We will see if that happens, but it does seem like we are on the verge of a major war in the Middle East. If the Hamas one wasn't big enough for you, hey, we're going to get another one. Iran is obviously involved in this as well. This could get very, very messy. And this is what kind of struck me about watching the news and taking it in over the last 24 hours. If you rewind back to 2020, we're in the middle of a campaign for president. Joe Biden is running from his basement. I mean, he's not running from his basement. He's in his basement the entire time, but he's trying to run a campaign from his basement. And he is sitting there giving you really one pitch. He doesn't have a lot of achievements in his life. He's never been a notable politician, really, of any sort. He's kind of been a giant zilch as far as, you know, history will not remember this guy really for any reason at this point. And he comes in with really just one simple pitch, which is, I know you don't like this guy's tweets. I know you don't like the chaos. Everyone's fighting. He's tweeting about Mika Brzezinski, and God only knows what this guy is doing. I will bring you back to normalcy. I will bring you back to a time when things were calm, where you didn't have to wake up every morning and see a new tweet and the whole news cycle was thrown about. You won't have all of this chaos. I will bring it back to a calm, normal period. Not to mention, you're dealing with this COVID thing, all this stuff's going on. I'll bring it back to normalcy. I'll solve the COVID-19 situation and I'll bring us back to this normalcy that you crave. And while I didn't believe that argument, I doubt you did either, a lot of people did. Frankly, like the Trump era was a little bit chaotic, and a lot of people didn't like the way it felt. You can criticize them for that, but I think that that's an honest thing that a lot of people in the middle sort of felt. They thought, you know what, let me get this boring old guy in there. At least it won't be crazy. Maybe we won't hear from him every day. Wouldn't that be nice? Well, that has been the absolute reverse of what has happened. In fact, the world seems much more chaotic than it was when Donald Trump was president. That's something maybe you predicted, maybe I can predict, but a lot of people in the middle really didn't see that coming. I will be honest with you, you know, there's a lot of people, even that I know, who were hesitant about Trump, largely because they didn't like the way the Trump era felt. I mean, just, you know, again, this is running a campaign sort of like falling in love. You know, it's not always explainable. I mean, you can give a great argument as to why Bob is a great, you know, husband for Sally. You know, he's got a good job and he's a good provider. But like, you know, there's a little bit more than that. And sometimes people just make emotional decisions. It's something that I kind of find to be annoying when it comes to elections, but it is something you have to deal with. You have to recognize the reality of the situation. So this appeals to a lot of people. Biden winds up becoming president. But now we are in not only chaos in America, but chaos globally. The whole world is on fire right now. I mean, forget what's going on with China and North Korea, and there's so many other areas we can mention. But just take, obviously, Ukraine and Russia, which was not like this at all when Donald Trump was president. But Israel is now really in what's becoming a two-front war. And we have to step back and remember that the guy who was there for all of this building is still there. Like, yeah, I know we're all talking about Kamala Harris now, but we got to get through the next few months. This man, Joe Biden, along with Kamala Harris, who is also responsible for, you know, these policies, he's still the president of the United States. She's still vice president of the United States. I mean, if you watch news coverage, you'd never know that, but it's true. He's still out there theoretically making decisions for this country, and that puts us in severe, severe danger. Now, Biden is warning against a full-scale war in the Middle East amid escalating fighting in Lebanon. This is in his final UN speech, which I will say, if nothing else comes out of this day, at least we don't have to hear this guy at the UN ever again. At least we got that going on for us, which is nice. Now, unfortunately, you will have to hear him on The View tomorrow. He's going on The View, Joe Biden on The View. I'm sure he'll be pressed with very difficult and challenging questions from that bunch of dunces that are on The View. We will see. And remember, like, the guy who's in charge of making sure your kids don't explode in a nuclear firestorm is this guy.
So I want to thank you all for being here. And now, who am I introducing next? Who's next?
Distinguished guests, the Prime Minister of the Republic of India.
Good heavens. I don't even know what to say, but we have no president right now. I mean, the guy is mentally checked out. And honestly, that might be the best thing for our country right now. The more engaged he is, the worse things get. Now, Democrats are a little worried about all this. Why? They think that maybe, just maybe, the chaos in the Middle East will hurt Kamala Harris. Who could have possibly seen that coming? Because she's been the part of the best administration of all time. Remember, Joe Biden was brought in because he has foreign policy expertise. So who could have seen this coming? But yeah, you probably will hurt him. And, you know, at the same time, while all this is going on, Donald Trump is being honored by Jewish American conservatives for support towards Jewish community and Israel. This is down in Florida. And it makes you kind of sit back and wonder, is there a missed opportunity here for Donald Trump? You have the entire Middle East on fire right now. Kamala Harris and Joe Biden have overseen this from kind of the beginning. She's been in the middle of all of this as well as he has. And now, after leaving office, you know, 3 years ago, with historic accords, the Abraham Accords were incredible. Like, we're talking about, you know, Arab nations that have been against Israel for decades coming to the table and creating these arrangements with Israel, relationships. It's, you know, there are country after country after country is rumored to be on the table of signing this. And since Joe Biden got in, it really has slowed down and now reversed itself. And now the entire Middle East is on fire. Shouldn't it hurt Kamala Harris's presidency? Shouldn't it be more of a factor here? If all-out war breaks out in the Middle East, isn't it at least a tad notable that Donald Trump was not having these sorts of problems when he was president? And yet here we are with Harris and Biden, where these problems are manifesting themselves in a way that could cause regional war, global war, God only knows what. We were promised a return to normalcy under Biden. Not so much. Not so much. Everything is pure chaos out there. And at some point, Donald Trump needs to be able to find a way to hold Biden responsible for this. You know, remember, Biden came in as a foreign affairs expert, and this is what he's leaving us? A total catastrophe, not only in Europe, but also in the Middle East. I hope Donald Trump finds a way to tout his accomplishments in Israel and the way the world was. And of course, the media is not going to give him credit. We know that. We know somehow he will not be asked any questions about these historic agreements he was able to facilitate when he was president. And, you know, there won't really be that much talk about how Israel is, you know, in the middle of fighting for their lives once again against adversaries that want them dead. We won't see much talk about how both Harris and Biden are basically blaming Israel for this. And remember, we're just coming off a story in which the media and the White House blamed Israel because Israeli hostages were taken from Israel and then murdered by Hamas. And that's Israel's fault, we are told. That's the climate. I mean, if that's the climate, no one's using their thinking caps at all. Part of this, of course, is Trump needs to remind people about this. And, you know, more than that, maybe the campaign does. It's a really important part of this story. Now, I know Trump tried to do this a little bit a few weeks ago, and then he was hit because he said, well, you know, because the way he put it was, you know, Jewish voters are, you know, need to vote for me because if I lose it, you know, they're going to be kind of at fault for this. We need their votes. Now, he's not saying we should blame Jews for everything. I think his record quite clearly shows he cares about this region and the people in Israel. The problem here is that the media is going to run with every other negative stereotype when you jump off script. This needs to be a really focused part of his campaign, but it's one he really does deserve credit for. Arguably, it's his greatest accomplishment as president. What happened in Israel was historic. It was incredible. The fact that these countries who have been sworn enemies of Israel for years and years and years and years and years have come to the table and want to make agreements with them. to avoid war, to trade, to do all sorts of things, have diplomatic relations. That is a massive generational accomplishment, and he gets no credit for it whatsoever. And not only does he get no credit for what he's accomplished there, Harris and Biden get no blame for what's going on now. How is that possible? It's wrong, and they need to be called out on it. It would be, you know, look, we can live in this nirvana, this world of unicorns and rainbows, where the press comes out and does their job. We had a 2-week period where that occurred when they got Biden kicked out of the race. They were doing their job for 2 weeks. We know they can do it. They just don't want to do it. But Biden's going to have to answer for these questions, I would think, eventually, at least if we were in a sane country. And more than that, Harris is. Harris is the one that wants to bring this forward. And look, as bad as Biden is on Israel, and I think he's terrible, Harris is worst. Harris is worse. Harris would love to unleash the fury of her words and actions against Israel. She's just smart enough to know she's got to wait 6 weeks. The second we get past this 6 weeks, it's going to sound like Rashida Tlaib is president of the United States. That's going to happen if she gets through this and wins. That's not something the America can take. That's not something Israel can take. And it's not something that the globe can take when it comes to the desire for stability. This is Kamala Harris, Joe Biden-sponsored chaos, and we should really, over the next 6 weeks, find a way to avoid any more time dealing with it. So, are you losing your hair? Look, everybody does eventually, right? Everyone's got to deal with these problems. And contrary to what you've been told, thinning hair or bald spots, not only due to age or even genetics, it's now easier than ever to promote the appearance of healthy new hair growth. How? Well, Regrow Hair Activation Formula. The formula features two enriching blends that contain hair rejuvenating nutrients like collagen, ashwagandha, L-lysine, and horsetail extract. I don't know what really any of those things do, but people are having great results with this stuff, and nutrients protect your hair from damage and breakage, and they reduce the appearance of hair loss. Who wouldn't want that? They boost the healthy shine and volume as well, and of course, your results may vary. We know that, but you can try this and see if it works for you, because I think there's a good chance that it does. A lot of people are having success with this. Don't miss out on reclaiming the look of fuller and thicker hair growth. Try Regrow Hair Activation Formula and receive a free bottle of Metabolic Reds Plus with your order. It's tryregrow.com/stew. Grab your supply of Regrow Hair Activation Formula and claim your free bonus gift. It's Regrow Hair Activation Formula. Get it now. tryregrow.com/stew.
Sehr gut, sehr gut, sehr gut.
Sehr gut?
Wieso Steuer ist sehr gut? Das sagen ganz viele.
Cool, wer sagt das?
Stiftung Warentest, Computerbild, Focus Money, Chip, Finanztipp, such dir was aus.
Mega, aber das ist doch bestimmt kompliziert.
Nö, einfach Foto von der Lohnsteuerbescheinigung machen und fertig.
Klingt sehr gut.
Ist sehr gut. Hol dir dein Geld zurück mit Wieso Steuer.
I'm joined now by Amy Swearer. She's the senior legal fellow for the Heritage Foundation, and she's got a new article out in the Indiana Gazette. It's called Harrison Walls, Gunning for the Second Amendment. I will tweet out a link to it shortly. Amy, thanks so much for coming back on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
You know, I read your article, and I'm disturbed because I saw Kamala Harris on with Oprah Winfrey, and she had something very clear to say about guns. Here it is.
I'm a gun owner. Tim Walls is a gun.
I did not know that.
If somebody breaks in my house, they're getting shot.
Yes, yes. I hear that. I hear that.
Probably should not have said that.
She shouldn't have said that. No, she's off the rails.
My staff will deal with that later.
Yeah, that's so funny. So, Amy, apparently Kamala's a gun owner, a big-time gun owner. I guess maybe people with Second Amendment fears shouldn't be so worried.
Of course they should still be worried. And you see this, frankly, even in the way that her team immediately walked back that statement. They immediately have come out and said, this is just a joke. She was joking. She's not serious. And she can't be serious, because if she's serious, she has a problem. She's recognizing that the Second Amendment protects, one, an individual right to keep and bear arms, but why? For self defense. And this is something that early in her career, at multiple points, she has denied. She has said, she has joined amicus briefs and has otherwise stated early in her career that she doesn't think there is an individual right to keep and bear arms. It certainly has nothing to do with self-defense. And so what you're seeing here is her understanding this and having to walk this back, because she knows that, you know, her status as a gun owner notwithstanding, her entire career has been one of telling the rest of us, you don't actually have a right to keep and bear arms. And to the extent that you do, well, it's not about self-defense. You know, maybe you can go duck hunting with Tim Walz, but it's not about self-defense against intruders. How dare you? And it's unfortunate, because this is frankly one of the most likable and human things she has said recently. And I think it's unfortunate that she is so anti-gun that this was too far for her to suggest that she would do what millions of other gun owners would do and defend herself, defend her family against criminal violence.
Yeah, it really is bizarre. And you go after and you go through a lot of this stuff about what she has said in the past. And it's quite clear where she stands when it comes to the Second Amendment. But I feel like your ire is specifically most focused on Tim Walz in your column. And I'm so glad you did this, because Tim Walz's singular qualification to be vice president seems to be he went hunting once. Like, that's the only thing they've ever talked about. But this guy has been pretty consistent, at least as he's been governor, of being an opponent of the Second Amendment. Am I right?
Yeah, that's true. He, from a policy standpoint, has a very clear track record of contradicting everything that he says on the one hand, very publicly about, oh, you know, I'm a gun owner. I care about the Second Amendment. I care about the right to keep and bear arms. Look at me. Here's my shotgun while I'm hunting. But at the same time, he has been, both from a policy standpoint and from a standpoint of talking about policy, very willing to do anything to undermine those positions, including speak contrary to his own alleged expertise as someone who has been in the military, who knows what the difference between a fully automatic and select fire and semi-automatic rifle are. And he will just completely ignore that and throw that out the window and try to say absolutely absurd things like, oh, I know that assault weapons should be banned. You have it on, you know, my authority. These are weapons that I carried into war, into combat. Now, notwithstanding the fact that he actually never, it appears, went into combat. He knows from his service that these are not the same types of guns that he trained with. He knows this. He actually does have enough expertise for us to look at this and say, you know better. You know that this is wrong. You know that this is factually incorrect. But he will still sort of, on the one hand, use his supposed expertise to convince people that, well, he knows what he's talking about. But he'll do it in a way, you know, that sort of undermines factual reality and tries to get people convinced and on board with all of these gun control measures. I think that's unfortunate, because he does, in fact, know better. And yet his from a policy standpoint, his time as governor has been one of rolling back and restricting the Second Amendment rights of peaceable Minnesotans.
I mean, I think that makes it worse, right? Like, I mean, he knows. Mm-hmm. This is just him trying to get his political and using that expertise to get it over the hump, which is really, really frustrating. You made a great point, too, in the weapons of war debate, because obviously, you know, his record in the military has been up for conversation quite a bit since he was announced as the candidate. But he is not currently in war, walking around Minnesota or campaigning in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. He is not in war, and yet he is protected by these same weapons. If these are designed solely for use in war, why is he being protected by these weapons?
No, it's a fantastic point, and it's something that I wish more journalists would press quote unquote assault weapon candidates on. If these have no bearing in a civilian context, if they are not useful for self-defense, if they are only useful as weapons of war to kill as many people as possible, why are your security details utilizing them? I mean, yes, you might have some people who say, oh, you know, parts of DC have turned into a war zone. But tongue-in-cheek statements notwithstanding, we're not in combat, right? They are concerned about the exact same type of criminal violent threats that the rest of us are. And they are perfectly willing to be surrounded by taxpayer-funded professional security details who will utilize those weapons to protect them and to protect their families. And again, it's entirely inconsistent with their entire gun control scheme. Their entire argument is that these are not useful, but also maybe they're just useful for us. Apparently, when the rest of us want to protect ourselves and our families with them, they turn into weapons of war. And it just makes no sense. But this is a consistent refrain that you have seen from both of them, that their policy positions have been incredibly inconsistent with some of their other statements saying, oh, well, you know, we support the Second Amendment. Look at me. I own guns. You know, to an extent, it's easy to say, well, you support the Second Amendment rights of everyone else if you don't actually believe the Second Amendment protects anything to begin with. And I think that's really, again, what you're seeing here. They don't seem to think that it protects an individual right to keep and bear arms premised on self-defense. And they'll just sort of pay lip service to being a gun owner, to caring about the Second Amendment. But at the end of the day, both in reality and from a very real public policy standpoint, the policies they're supporting are completely contradictory to that. Mm.
You point out another incident with Walls where it was a response to a tragedy in which a man killed two police officers and a firefighter during the standoff at his home. Mm-hmm. And he was prohibited from possessing firearms at the time. And Walls uses this, and this is what the left does all the time, to pass completely unrelated gun control measures that don't have anything to do with the case that they're talking about. Can you kind of go through this a little bit? Because this is a common tactic.
Yeah, and again, I think this is just another example of when your response to tragedies is, well, we just have to do something. Mm. That something doesn't apparently have to make sense. It doesn't have to be moored in doing something that would have prevented the tragedy. So in this example, you had, this is fairly recently, actually, an individual who was a longtime prohibited person, longtime violent offender, everybody agrees, can't keep and bear arms, shouldn't have a gun. And legally speaking, under state and federal law, He can't legally possess or purchase those weapons. It's a state with universal background checks already, again, thanks to, in large part, to Tim Walls. And in spite of that, he's able to procure weapons. He goes through an illegal straw purchaser. I believe in that case it was his girlfriend. And in a standoff with law enforcement, kills three public officials. I believe it was two police officers and an EMS, some other emergency personnel, perhaps a firefighter. Tragic situation. Individual never should have had guns. Clearly an illegal straw purchase. And Tim Walls' response to that was not to suggest some sort of clear policy about, okay, here is how we further punish people or disincentivize them from circumventing our universal background checks or engaging in illegal straw purchases. No, he says, well, I'm going to push the state legislature to look at safe storage, as though the lack of safe storage laws was really the problem here, and not that you had clear and easy circumvention of state universal background check laws, which, again, is one of the pushbacks about those laws, is that this is really not addressing how criminals get their guns. It's not disincentivizing people from engaging in illegal straw purchases and simply telling them, okay, these guns that you possess illegally, you better lock them up safely, or else it'll be doubly illegal. That just doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
No, it doesn't at all. And I suppose that's why Tim Walls is involved in it. Let me switch gears a little bit, Amy, to this Ryan Routh character who attempted to assassinate President Trump a couple of weeks ago. One thing that's been fascinating as his background has come out is that he had an incident in 2002 with apparently an automatic weapon, at least that's the report, which obviously very, very difficult. Only in very limited circumstances can that even be possessed legally in the United States, at least at this time. He had this weapon, had a standoff with police, has all these issues, and then seemingly didn't go to prison for it. Do we understand how that's even possible? Is that reporting accurate? What do you know about this story?
So what I know is about as much as what you know, and I think that's the concerning part as to where we are, is there hasn't been a lot of information coming out. And it's not just that he had this offense, for which I believe he was eventually convicted. It's one of the reasons he has been a prohibited person for about 20 years now. However, he got his current firearm, it was not through a legal sale in any capacity, because he's been prohibited. It's not just that. You have an individual who, by all accounts, has been arrested or had bad interactions with police officers something like 100 times in the interim 20 years. Never, at least to my knowledge, and perhaps more facts will come to light that he did perhaps spend time in prison. But you're right. He is someone who continually, it seems, breaks the law and has not, you know, other than us saying, no, please don't own guns, he hasn't actually been punished prior till now. And we're also dealing with an individual who, as recently as 2019, the FBI was informed, hey, this is a prohibited person who's been prohibited based on violent, threatening behaviors, weapons-related criminal violations. He criminally possesses weapons. You should do something about this. And again, it appears nothing was done. We still don't know for certain how he got the rifle he used in this assassination attempt. And that will be sort of an interesting plot twist. It appears it had an obliterated serial number, which seems to indicate he didn't walk down to his local gun store and pick it off the shelf, primarily because he couldn't pass a background check. But that will be interesting to see. How did he get this weapon? And are any of the gun control laws that that anti-gun politicians want to put in place and are piggybacking off of this event, would any of those have actually meaningfully prevented a prohibited person from illegally possessing a firearm and taking it to commit a violent illegal act? And I think, just like so many other times, the answer, I'd almost put money on it, will be no.
Amy, well, last one for you. You guys maintain a database of defensive gun use. Is that right, or at Heritage?
We do. Yeah, it's the Heritage Foundation's defensive gun use database.
Yeah. Can you talk to people about how you're doing that? What is it showing? Because I think this is a really important resource because we hear all the time that, you know, people don't use guns in defensive purposes. They're only weapons of war and evil.
So we know statistically, based on dozens of different types of surveys, and not just from your usual suspects, but from Georgetown professors, from data taken from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, who are not, you know, notoriously pro-Second Amendment. We know that defensive gun uses by American civilians happen an absurd number of times every year, somewhere between 500,000 to several million times a year. Most of those are never going to make it into a police report. They're never going to make it into a newspaper. But a good number of them do, especially those that I'd consider like major defensive gun uses, where a gun is fired and not just brandished in self-defense. And so we made it our mission to go about just seeing, hey, even though we know it's the tip of the iceberg, we know this is not every defensive gun use out there, but it's a good selection of them. Things that you may have missed on your local nightly news, you may not have seen it in your local paper. So we put them together. We called them essentially media verified defensive gun uses, things that it's not just someone's word for it, but there is verification that this happened by law-abiding gun owners who use their guns to protect themselves or others. And we put them into an interactive map so you can see, hey, these are the defensive gun uses around me that I've missed that have happened in my community. And you can start to see and really push back against this narrative that, one, this never happens. But two, you also hear these narratives that say, okay, well, maybe it happens sometimes, but you're just as likely as a defensive gun user to end up accidentally shooting a bystander or getting injured yourself or having your gun taken from you. And you can see that narrative, how quickly that falls apart when you start looking at the substance of these gun owners and the situations that they found themselves in. These were not people who were looking for trouble. They were just living their lives, and they happened to be prepared, and thank God they were prepared, to utilize their Second Amendment rights to defend themselves, to defend other people against criminal violence. And, you know, to go back to the beginning of our conversation, regardless of what you know, Harris or Walz or anybody else thinks about it, that is the core purpose of the Second Amendment, right? It's not hunting. It's not sport shooting. It is having the tools by which to meaningfully defend yourselves and your loved ones, to forcibly insist on your inalienable rights, your rights to life, liberty, private property, when the government isn't or won't be there to protect you and to protect your loved ones. Mm-hmm. That's the core purpose, and that's what we're trying to show with this database.
It's an incredibly important research. I'm so glad you guys put this together. Amy Swear, where can people find it?
So you can just go to your search engine and look for the Heritage Foundation Defensive Gun Use Database. We also have a fairly active Twitter account where we give you some of the best hits from recent days and weeks. And that's at Daily DGU as the handle for that on X.
At Daily DGU. Amy Swearer, Heritage Foundation. Be sure to check out her new piece, Harrison Walls Gunning for the Second Amendment. You can find a link to it on my Twitter feed as well. Amy, thanks so much for doing this and coming on the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
We were just talking about life and how it's important to have the tools you need to protect yourself and make sure that life is maintained. I mean, look, we all know that it can be taken away in an instant. And it's not just so your Second Amendment rights. It's not just, you know, having an alarm system on your house or making sure, you're all buttoned up when it comes to your security. It's also thinking about other things like food. Like, God forbid, we have a breakdown in our supply chains like we've seen over the past few years. What do you do for food? Well, there's a 4-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply that I think you're going to want in your home. It's got everything a family could need during a crisis with over 2,000 calories a day. There's enough to go around during times of whatever it is, social unrest or government crackdowns or, God forbid, an attack on America. The food lasts up to 25 years, ready whenever disaster strikes. We've seen mass panic in our lifetimes before, you know, some not that long ago. So don't put your family's safety at risk. Right now, you can get $50 off the same 4-week emergency kit that I have in my house. Go to preparewithstew.com. Preparewithstew.com. Save $50 on your 4-week emergency food kit now. My Patriot Supply will send it over as fast as humanly possible. It usually comes like the next day or two. So get it now. 4-week emergency food kit. Preparewithstew.com. Preparewithstew.com. It's My Patriot Supply.
Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche Cespri Sangold Kiwi. Das Stück für nur 55 Cent. Oder dunkle Tafeltrauben. 500 Gramm für nur 1,79 Euro. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
You ever hear that, like, saved you a click? We want to save you, like, dozens of clicks, and that's why we have the PulseCast. This is an effort to try to summarize all the mainstream data experts that come out with their new polls and their new election models and, of course, prediction markets and all those things. If you look at them all together, what do they say? This is not my prediction on how this is going to go. We'll give you that as we get closer to the election. But this is the mainstream media consensus as of this very moment. New one out today. Trump, a 43.82% chance of winning the election. Actually, a pretty good day for Trump as he was up almost a full point from yesterday. These things are designed to move pretty slowly as new polls come out and old ones sort of expire in their relevance. So a little bit of a comeback. You can kind of see it barely at the end there, and hopefully a turnaround here for Trump. Again, anything in this range is pretty much a toss-up. I would look at this argument, or I would look at this logically as a toss-up, but it's all about momentum and where the slight favorites might be in an election like this. There's also a new poll out from CNN today. CNN poll, Harris and Trump locked an exceedingly close presidential race. New polling shows Kamala Harris and Trump deadlocked nationally. Trump 1 point behind in this poll, but again, polls are generalized instruments. They're not specific instruments. They're more blunt tools than they are surgical. So you get the general idea. This is really close. 48 for Harris, 47 for Trump. Oliver is at 2%. He's the Libertarian candidate. Jill Stein, 1%, is way behind as well. A couple interesting details I thought in the poll about basically more people saying that Trump's policies are what they want in a president. 29% said that for Trump. Only 18% said that for Harris. And then another one, which is really interesting, 51% of likely voters say that looking back at Trump's time as president, it was more of a success than a failure. Harris may be impeded by the widespread perception of Biden's time as president as a failure. 61% said it's a failure. 61%. Now, of that group, so you got 61% of people saying, gosh, that Biden was a failure. You expect those people to say, hey, I don't want to vote for his vice president to be the next president of the United States, right? Well, 19% of those voters who say Biden's time as president was a failure are actually voting for Kamala Harris. This should be fertile ground for Donald Trump to exploit. We will see if he is able to do that, because those voters exist, and obviously they're open to different options. They think Biden was a failure. So we will see if they can take advantage of that. One more little note here, and we don't have too much time to go into this, but there's a chance a 269-269 electoral tie. There's a chance that Kamala Harris only gets to 270 electoral votes. One thing that was out there for a while was this possibility that Nebraska could change their laws at the last minute. The way they typically do electoral votes is they give a couple for the statewide victory, but then they give one each for congressional districts. The one around Omaha usually goes to Democrats these days. So the idea from the very Republican state was to say, well, what if we change the law and make it a winner-take-all state like pretty much everybody else? There was a late-term effort to try to do that. It would probably get one electoral vote in the hands of Donald Trump instead of Kamala Harris. Could make the difference in a very close election. However, that effort seems to have died now. State Senator Mike McDonnell deflates GOP hopes for a Nebraska winner-take-all. He's out. Without him, it really can't be done. We'll see if anything changes on that one, but it's a pretty big development, and I wanted to keep you abreast of that. We'll be back in a second. Imagine for a moment you're about to make the biggest financial decision that most people make in their lives, buying or selling a house, or both. And what would that mean to not only have help, but have really good help, someone who actually knows what they're doing? That's kind of important when you're going through something like this. So what do you do? You need someone who's going to help you find the right repair work, the right contractors, the right photographer, the right mortgage company, all that stuff. A great real estate agent can do that for you, but you need to have the best around you. Well, realestateagentsitrust.com exists specifically for this purpose. That's right. They pair you with the best real estate agent in your area, someone who knows the best practices, who, you know, understands the crazy housing market, who understands how to get this done for you, someone you can trust. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home or both, get in touch with them now. You'll see what I mean. It's realestateagentsitrust.com. Realestateagentsitrust.com. The name kind of says it all. Check it out now. Realestateagentsitrust.com. A free service for you. Realestateagentsitrust.com. The Secret Service is taking new steps to boost protection around Donald Trump. What are those steps? Well, a heightened posture. That's good, because a lot of the other agents were too short. I noticed that when he was getting shot on stage. But also, Secret Service falling behind Donald Trump as he gets off his plane in Pennsylvania. So we will see if that one works out. We should, however, be very, very excited, because we've now hit 8 days. Yes, 8 days. Without an assassination attempt on Donald Trump. What an achievement here by all the left and ACT Blue donors specifically. A good job. Although I will say, is it 8 days or is it 0 days? What do you mean? Well, we have this report as well. An Idaho man has been charged with threatening to kill Donald Trump in phone calls to Mar-a-Lago. Now, is this an assassination attempt? Not exactly. And I will say it doesn't actually reset our count because he was actually arrested August 1st and indicted on August 20th. He pleaded not guilty. This was just them going through all the details. I will say one detail you may not have heard, if you've heard about the story, is the man's name. This is, I'm not making this up, this is actually his name, Warren Jones Crazy Bull. The man literally has crazy built into his name. So that's where we are. But he did not actually get to Donald Trump, just made a bunch of phone calls that were harassing him at Mar-a-Lago. So looks like he's going to get into some trouble for that one. Either that, or they'll just release him at the next Trump rally and see what happens. Back in a second. Okay, so here's what happened. Story from Iceland. A rare polar bear showed up on the shores of Iceland. Police shot it. Now, I don't know. not the greatest headline, especially when you listen to the actual story. The bear was killed Thursday afternoon in the northwest of Iceland after police consulted the Environment Agency, which declined to have the animal relocated. So a polar bear, which I don't know if you know what a polar bear is a very giant killing machine. That's what a polar bear is. It will rip you to shreds if it gets the opportunity. And it comes on the shore of this little village, and like, what the heck are we supposed to do with this thing? Let's call the environmentalists. They're like, I don't want anything to do with it. We're not relocating that thing. So what are you going to do with it? You don't want it to kill the people in the village, so they shot it. And sadly, that's how this one ended for this polar bear, though I think absolutely the right circumstance. By the way, polar bears have been thriving for many decades. We have more of them now than we've had in a very, very long time. Global warming fears on this subject have been misguided or lies, one of the two. So I wouldn't worry all that much about the polar bear population, but we can all mourn this individual polar bear. We can do that together. It's BlazeTV.com/Stu. BlazeTV.com/Stu. Use the code Stu40. You'll get $40 off, I guess, your title, your subscription to Blaze TV.